Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about those very special episodes of television and talk about some stars that starred on other shows as well before they became big. And, 312-981-7200 for your 2 for Tuesday requests. Get them in there. One artist, two songs. Get them in now. 312-981-7200. All right, my guest right now that I'm going to welcome to the show is Andy Martello. Andy is the author of a book called Stupid Stories About Famous People. He's also the announcer for the traveling version of The Price is Right, which is on the road right now. He's in Tennessee right now, actually, on the road doing The Price is Right. He is also a juggler. He's a clown. He's performed in comedy clubs. He's been on Last Comic Standing. He's opened for Gladys Knight, performed for the Presidents, and has been in the business for a very long time doing many, many, many things. And he has written a couple of books about these things, and we're going to welcome Andy to the show right now. Andy, how are you?
Hey, I am absolutely great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure. Welcome to the show. So you got started very early in the entertainment world. Were you, even as a little kid, were you always interested in entertaining people?
Yeah. The way my parents always used to put it is that I was always a smartass, and I ended up growing into a full-grown one. I was just always cracking wise and learning funny jokes, and I had an odd fascination with my dad was a high school drama teacher at Maine South in Park Ridge, Illinois, and he kind of got me hooked. I'll never forget the day. It was a Sunday night, and we were watching the PBS station, Channel 11, out there, and he woke me up the day before I was supposed to go to school. He woke me up because he wanted me to watch the Nairobi Trio on a rebroadcast of Ernie Kovacs. And quite literally, he said, "You have to watch this. This is important." Because I was always, like, watching Marx Brothers movies. And all, just you name it. I was watching weird comedy things.
Yeah.
And he woke me up. I watched this. I laughed my full head off. And then he said, "Okay, it's a school night. Go to bed. Tomorrow we'll talk about this." And so, from that point on, I was cast in a play as Randolph McAfee in a summer drama production of Bye Bye Birdie when I was 10 years old, and I also learned how to juggle that same year, and that just kind of got the idea in my head I could be an entertainer.
Wow, the Nairobi Trio, man. Yeah, that's a great story because, you know, the Nairobi Trio was so weird that you could have thought you were still dreaming.
Yes, I kind of did. I was very, very blurry-eyed looking at this, and I'm like, what on earth is this? These crazy monkeys dancing, or what are they doing, Dad? I don't know. And I have the box set, the DVD box set of the that they recently released a few years back of Ernie Kovacs, and any version of the Nairobi Trio that comes on, I am still as mesmerized now as I was then. I cannot get over how fascinating it was to watch.
It is. It's really amazing. And one of the other great things is that one of the guys in the monkey mask was Jack Lemmon.
Yes, yeah.
And which is a really great little thing. Like, Jack Lemmon, you would never know it was him because they're in, you know, they got gorilla masks on.
Yeah, they're big gorilla masks, and the music is playing, and they're wearing those big overcoats.
Right. With the hats, it's just a very, it's very. But I got turned on to Ernie Kovacs at a very young age too, man. And I used to watch it on Channel 11 too. And I have kind of a similar story because my dad and I was watching. I was probably 9 or something, and I was watching Welcome Back, Kotter, and I was laughing my ass off. And my dad was sitting in the room, just kind of looking at me like I was insane because it's Welcome Back, Kotter, and it's not funny. And I'm 9 and I'm losing it. And my dad is like, "Listen, here's the deal. Sunday night at 10:30, we're going to turn on Channel 11 and I'll show you something that's funny."
Yes.
And then that Sunday night at 10:30, we turned on Channel 11 and it was Python. And everything changed after that.
Your whole life, it really is. It's that moment where Dorothy walks out of black and white Kansas into colorful Oz. Where you have those comedic epiphanies in your life.
And absolutely.
Suddenly you just don't laugh the same way at things. I recently, just like last year on MeTV or some stupid thing, they were doing a late night rebroadcast of Welcome Back, Kotter. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know what, I'm up. I may as well watch it. And I sat there and I watched the entire show, And the girl I was with at the time, we were just kind of just watching it, and I leaned over and I just went, "Sweet mother of God, was this always this terrible?" Because I remember thinking it was genius.
Yeah.
I was convinced it was funny.
Oh yeah, no. When that show was at its prime, I was like 10 or 11 years old when it was like, you know, very, very popular. And I just thought it was, you know, my friends and I, up your nose with a rubber hose. We all thought it was hilarious and really funny. And then, you know, years later, you watch it in reruns just like you, and you go, what in God's name was I thinking?
I mean, I have actually seen Brady Bunch episodes today that are funnier. And yeah, that's a horrible thing to say out loud. It's just not right in any respect.
It is.
God, I watched it so much.
I did too. I watched every single episode of it. So, all right, listen, Andy, hang.
We're both in the same level.
We are. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hang on, okay, Andy?
Oh, of course.
Okay, Andy Martello is with us. He is the author of a book called Stupid Stories About Famous People. We'll get into that. Plus, he's the announcer for the traveling version of The Price is Right. And he's got tons of great stories, and we're going to hear all about them. He's been in the entertainment business for many, many years. So we'll talk with Andy coming up here. And again, 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. And if you've got a question or a comment, call us up. All right, we'll take a break because the news is next. Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're back, and we are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And my guest is Andy Martello. He is the author of the book Stupid Stories About Famous People and announcer for the traveling version of The Price is Right. We're going to talk about his book and more. And we welcome Andy back to the show. Hey, Andy.
Hey.
Hey, you actually attended Ringling Brothers Clown College. How was that for a while?
Yes, I did. I was right out of high school. And so we're talking 1988. And it was a blast. If you're 18 years old and that's where you decide to go to school, it's kind of cool at the time. I remember, it was very difficult because you were doing 14-hour days, 6 days a week, learning everything from prop building, costume design, gag writing, pyrotechnics, stunt work, slaps and falls, juggling, stilt walking, unicycle. You know, they were just, it was like boot camp for you know, circus comedy.
Yeah.
And I remember I mentioned my dad was a speech and drama teacher for 25 years at Maine South High School. And when I told him that my goal for higher learning involved clown white makeup and big floppy shoes, he was none too pleased about it. And that same year, there was a TV special on CBS talking about the 20th anniversary of the Clown College, and Dick Van Dyke hosted it, and it really kind of profiled the school well. And when he found out that statistically it was harder to get into Clown College than it was to get into Harvard Medical School, he perked up, and his attitude changed a little because he saw how difficult it was to get in. There would be 3,000 or 4,000 people every year would audition, and they'd take maybe 50. And when I got accepted in, he was like, you know what, this is, you know, he says he wants to be an entertainer. He's been making money at it. You know, I made my first few bucks as an entertainer when I was 15. And we were a few years later down the road. Here I am going off to clown college. And it seemed to resonate with my dad a lot better after that.
How long does clown college last?
It was 10 and a half weeks. Started in October or ended in October. I don't remember, but it was literally 10 and a half weeks, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And it was a crash course in that sort of thing. And it was intense. You know, I'm really glad I did it then, because I sure as hell wouldn't have considered doing it, let's say, past 30.
Yeah.
It would have made no sense to me. It was a lot of fun. I'm happy. I have bittersweet memories about it now. Like, the older I get, the less fond of it am. And I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, having bad experiences. It's just I've done so many other things since then that when I was first making money in the Chicago area, you know, doing birthday parties and corporate events and Cub Scout events and things like that, that's the only way I was defined, was, you know, former Ringling clown or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And as I've done more and more things, I always remember there's certain things. There are days when I will be on stage, like right now with Price is Right, doing the announcing bit. I'm also doing the audience warm up, right before
right.
the show really kicks off. And there are plenty of times that I can actually hear right before I go on stage every day. I hear Steve Smith, our the old dean of our clown college, just whispering in my ear, performance energy. You've got to be, as soon as that curtain opens up, you have to be at 110% performance energy the entire time you're on stage, because someone will notice when you're yawning. Someone will notice when you're not.
Right.
It still is with me every single day. But, I'm glad I did it, but I'm also glad that I don't have to do that anymore.
I'm curious. What did you have to do for the audition?
Oh gosh, I even still have footage from some of the local Chicago news stations covering that had me in the footage. They did a couple things. They would set us up with pair us off with other people that were auditioning. They taught us a basic clown gag. If I remember, it was either the washerwoman or some circus lingo gag. And they monitored how we would act. They made us mug for the cameras, make our goofiest faces. They got volunteers I literally took a pie to the face at my audition.
Uh-huh.
I kind of figured that I nailed it when I got the pie in the face.
Yeah.
I was convinced of that. And there was other things. They asked a lot of questions. The audition wasn't anywhere near as grueling or interesting as the application for Clown College. It was a 10-page application, and it had questions on it. Not things like what are your favorite foods, it would ask some of your favorite circus performers, favorite performers of all kind, and then when was the last time you ever cried and why?
Oh my God!
Briefly describe an adverse personal situation and how you handled it. And I'm like, what the hell are these questions? And why?
Yeah.
And it's when you get there, it's because they always said they were looking for people who had that heart of gold, and they were looking for people who understood that some of the funniest things in the world happen from some of the worst things in the world.
Yeah.
The old adage, comedy is tragedy plus time.
Right.
And they were looking for people, not necessarily broken people, but they were looking for what made you cry? What possibly could have made you cry? What was something horrible that happened, and how did you get through it? I still wish I had made a Xerox copy of the application itself, because some of the questions were just, to this day, I'm sure there's no other application for a college or institution of any kind that had questions quite like that. It was very strange.
Yeah,
so,
let me ask you, and I know you're on the road, you're busy all the time. Have you watched the show Baskets?
I have not. A few people have asked me about this week alone, so I feel I must check this out.
Yeah, you're aware of what it's about? It's Zach Galifianakis plays twins, and one of the twins is he's a clown who studied in France.
Okay.
And he desperately wants to be a clown, and he wants to be taken seriously. And it's about his life, his relationships, his mother, who oddly is played by Louis Anderson, but brilliantly.
Well, of course.
And I think what you have gone through might add a little depth while you're watching Baskets, because it's a great show.
Oh. I will definitely check this out. I've worked with Louis Anderson a handful of times in Las Vegas, and I think Zach Galifianakis is just absolutely hilarious.
And I've often said this. The show's been on. It just ended. It just the finale, the season finale, was just last week, just this past Thursday. And I've said this now for 2 years in a row since the show's been on, that who would have thought that the highlight of Louis Anderson's career would be playing Zach Galifianakis' mother.
Right.
And
of course.
And playing it straight. It's not like a drag performance. He's playing it straight, and he won an Emmy for it last year.
That's fantastic.
You've
got me sold. See, back when I was in Chicago and I would be coming home late from a gig listening to your show, I was always like, oh, okay, something cool has just been mentioned on Nick's show. I'm going to check it out. Now I feel like I'm back home.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. So you've worked a lot of places, and I want to get to your book. the stupid stories about famous people, which I found really charming and really lovely. And I love a lot of the Chicago connections, and I want to I definitely want to talk about the the Bozo and Cookie Wizzo section and so much more.
Oh, excellent. Of course. But it's very much a Chicago book.
Yeah. And I you're not the Andy, you're not the only one who's had a run in with Al Jorgensen.
Oh, good. I love this.
So before that though, let's talk about the traveling version of The Price is Right. Does it ever come to Chicago?
We have played a few of the Chicago suburbs. Last year we were at the Genesee Theater up in Waukegan. Mm-hmm. And I know we've gotten as close that we've done like Gary, Indiana, and in and around. We've never done the show in the city proper, and I know we've done it in only a handful of the suburbs. It really depends on the how do you get to Carnegie Hall? The answer really is you rent it, just like any other buddy would do it. Any other show, they rented it.
Right.
And I think it really depends on I really don't know because it's not my thing, but I do know that some of the Chicago theaters are a little pricey.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand completely.
We have definitely been in and around the Midwest. We actually did a lot of the Midwest on this tour we're on now. We were in Iowa and Michigan and Ohio and Indiana. And I know we'll be doing some of the Chicago suburbs again.
Yeah. Well, tell everybody about
the Star Plaza Theater.
Yeah.
That's the one we do quite a lot.
That's in Merrillville, yeah. So tell everybody about the traveling version of The Price is Right and how people can get involved. I know you guys are on tour right now. You're in Tennessee, but tell us about it.
Oh, it's a live stage version of television's most famous game show. It's called The Price is Right Live. There's been a version of this show running for about 15 years now, believe it or not. It started as residency shows at casinos throughout the country, and then the last 4 years it's been touring North America, U.S. and Canada, to sold-out crowds darn near everywhere we go. And I like to look at it as one of our hosts, Todd Newton, who you've seen from Whammy and Monopoly Millionaires Club and shows like that,
yep.
He likes to describe it as the greatest hits version of The Price is Right, because you're kind of going to get, all your favorite games like Cliffhangers and Plinko and The Big Wheel and Punch a Bunch and things like that. I always kind of equate it to whenever a Disney movie comes out and 6 months later you see like Little Mermaid on Ice. I like to look at it as Price is Right on Ice. That's the way I look at it. Because we end up playing a lot of hockey arenas and sometimes they just throw boards over the ice. We're literally playing on the ice.
Yeah.
It's a smaller scale version of the show, but it's for all those people. It was originally created for all those people who are never going to go to L.A. and wait in line and hope that they not only get a ticket to the show, but actually get picked, because there are tons of people that are never going to go. It's a way of bringing the show to you, and we bring it to big and small cities all around North America. And we are frequently, like I said, it's a mad, crazy event because I tell people you're buying tickets to see a show and you have a chance of winning prizes.
Yeah.
And if you go in, especially with that kind of attitude, you always have fun. Because I know if I bought tickets to go see, Poison or Def Leppard, and somebody walks up to me and says, "Hey, man, would you like a free T-shirt?" I'd be pretty darn excited.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
wow,
sure.
I just won something for watching a show.
Yeah.
And I'm the announcer. I'm the guy who says, "Come on down." I'm the only guy on this show who is, during the show, I should say, who's on stage the entire time. I come out and I do a little audience warm up, which is where my stand up comedy background comes in handy. And then I turn into, you just pick the announcer of your choice. I turn into Johnny Olson, Rod Roddy, Rich Fields, whichever one you love.
Right.
I think they hired me because I have more of that Johnny Olson baritone. Although right now I'm in allergy hell right now, so I'm pretty certain I don't sound anything like I actually sound like. But it's a fun show. The 30 plus years that I have been making money as an entertainer, it is far and away my favorite gig.
That's cool.
Every single day, I hear somebody come up from the audience who tells me this was a bucket list thing for them, or I watched the show with my grandmother, and just getting to meet you is a great thing, and it's It's fun. And, yeah. You know, making game show dreams come true.
That's great.
Absolutely fantastic.
That's
and
cool.
People can go to priceisrightlive.com, and they can always find where we're going to be next. And Ticketmaster.com, of course, always has our schedule as
Got
well.
It.
We're in Johnson City, Tennessee. I had a day off here today, and we'll be doing a show tomorrow. And then I think we're in Chattanooga after that.
Mm.
And just... We're on the road until May.
Okay.
We've been on the road since January, so it'll be nice to see my house again one day.
All right, Andy, hang on.
Absolutely.
Okay, Andy Martello is with us, and there you go, priceisrightlive.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. When we come back, we'll talk about Stupid Stories About Famous People, which is his latest book. It's Nick DiGiulio on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich for the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we are going to, first of all, talk about some of the big stars that were on Family Ties at a time when nobody knew who they were. And that's going to get us into very special episodes of television. You know what I'm talking about, and we'll get to that as well. More coming up. It's 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. Right now, though, my guest is Andy Martello, and he is the author of the book Stupid Stories About Famous People, and we welcome him back to the show. Andy, welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right, talk about the idea behind Stupid Stories About Famous People and why you wrote it.
Oddly enough, it started with, as all great stories, it started with a breakup with a girl. Because
mm-hmm.
I had written the last couple of years, my first book came out in just a few years ago, about 3 years ago, and I put another book out right after that, and I was kind of in a funk from this breakup. And I found myself just saying, you know, I really need to do something with my time. I am just sitting around doing absolutely nothing. And I was like, you know, it's high time I write another book. And I couldn't really – I had a couple different things that I'd been working on, and nothing was really – I just wasn't getting in that groove where I just wanted to just write and write and write. And my younger brother, Matt, we got the idea. We were – When you're in entertainment, eventually somebody will ask you, whether it's you know, where your level is, where you talk to famous people all the time, or where you're less than where I've been, people will always ask, have you ever worked with anybody famous? And I will rattle off some of my favorite particular stories, and they would always laugh and enjoy the stories and all that silly nonsense. And my brother said, you know what, that should be your next book. Your next book should just be... You just write down the stories of all the really bizarre or funny or unusual encounters you've had with people more famous than you. And I remember telling him, that's a terrible idea, because who wants to hear these things? And he's like, every time we're at a bar and somebody asks, they love it. And quite honestly, this is how it happened. I looked at him and I said, Matt, nobody is going to want to hear my stupid stories about famous people. And I sat there and I went, damn, that's a good title.
Right.
And that was it. Once I had the title, then I just started writing, and they came out much faster than I expected.
Yeah.
I ended up getting that book written very, very quickly, and I loved it. I mean, I really am very fond of this book, because it really does, in a lot of ways. I didn't intend for it to be an autobiographical book, because I make it very clear in the book that I am not famous. I am the most famous non-famous person in the world. You know, if you Google me, I'm like a rash all over the internet. But I'm not particularly famous, aside from having a signed hot dog bun at Tony Paco's in Toledo and having been an honorary duckmaster at the Peabody Hotel. I really do not consider myself famous. That being said, I've gotten to do a lot of great things and meet a lot of great people. And why would anyone read my life story? But if they read the stories about Audrey Hepburn or Tony Curtis or this, that, or the other, then they learn a little bit also about the author.
Right.
And it was kind of a sneaky way of writing an autobiography.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the people that you have stories in here about, you know, Malcolm McDowell, Robert Altman, you've got Bob Newhart and Bill Daly. Gladys Knight and a Pip, Al Jorgensen, as I mentioned before, Sam Phillips, the Chicago ones that are really fun. So I want to touch upon before we let you go, Bill Curtis, the chapter about the gig that you did with Bill Curtis is one of my favorites in the book.
Thank you. Oh, I love that one, too. It was one of my favorite days in show business in Chicago.
Yeah, and Bill now is kind of like, you know, he's like our voice here on WGN. When we do any promos for the show, Bill Curtis is now the voice that tags them.
Bill Curtis.
And I have to say that the first time I heard my name spoken by Bill Curtis, I almost fell off this chair.
I'm Bill Curtis, and he just says anything. You're just like, oh my god, he just said my name. It would have to give you chills.
It is, but the story that you tell in there is great. And it's you were in a show that he was producing and essentially directing, and it was a History Channel show about Capone. So you got to smoke cigars and drink booze and hang out with floozies, all while Bill Curtis was giving you direction, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. And then I do want to mention the Bozo, because we're running out of time, the Bozo, sure. Wizzo, and Cookie, having grown up here in Chicago, Andy, and you know, being a lifelong Chicagoan and knowing how insanely popular Bozo was, you do a beautiful job explaining to people who might not know the impact that Bozo made, especially in this city. You do a really nice job. And you appeared on the show many times.
But I did.
One of my favorite things, though, is I probably have seen you, particularly, doing the spinning plate thing 100 times on that show.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, they quite literally, anytime they didn't have an act lined up for that particular week's show, Alan Hall, who was the producer, he would always just tell them, you know, just pull up Andy. And they would always pull up my plate spinning. And I used to get phone calls at early in the morning when it was the Bozo Super Sunday show or whatever.
Right.
From my friends, like, hey, you're on TV. I'm like, no, I'm really not. I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's. I turn it on and I'm like, God, I look so thin then. Well, don't they know I'm older now?
It's funny because I've probably seen you do that specific act like 50 times on the
sure
show.
You have.
And it's great. But the book is really, you know, just really, really charming and really fun. And by the way, I will say this, my friend who had the encounter, with Al Jorgensen, and your encounter with Al Jorgensen, who lead singer of Ministry, is not the most pleasant encounter that, you've had.
No, that was probably if there's any bad story in the book,
right,
or makes the celebrity, you know, paints them in a less than flattering light, that's probably the only one in that book.
It is true, but I will just say this, you're not the only one who has had a horrible incident happen between them and Al Jorgensen. It's commonplace.
Kind of an order guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Andy, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, man.
Oh, thank you. No, it's my honor. Thank you. I've always loved your show, and it's an honor to you know, where you like having Bill Curtis say your name, it's an honor having you say my name.
Oh, Andy, that's really nice of you, man. And I appreciate it. And Stupid Stories About Famous People is out now. We have a link on our Facebook page to all the information. PriceIsRightLive.com if you want to find out where Andy is going and Price is Right. And have fun on the road, Andy, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
I appreciate it very much. Have a great day.
Okay, buddy. Take care. There you go. Andy Martello, everybody. The book is called Stupid Stories About Famous People. It's available now. All right. The news is coming up in 5 seconds.